This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. You're listening to the Inside Carolina podcast, sponsored by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Talking football today. It is late January. The ACC has finally decided to release the 2020 football schedule. So I figured an Inside Carolina roundtable with Buck Sanders, Jason Staples, and Taylor Viplus would be good to take your mind off other things that may be going on in the world of Carolina athletics as we speak. Buck, come to you first. We knew about the UCF game. We knew about the Auburn game and the non-conference schedule. But the biggest takeaway and the biggest thing I want to discuss in this podcast is your thoughts on how this ACC schedule sets up for Carolina. I've got some opinions. I'll share them after the experts talk. Buck, you're first.
I would say the schedule, ACC schedule, actually starts out very well for North Carolina. If you're going to pick a game to start your ACC schedule and you want to get off to a good start, there's hardly a better game you could pick than a home game against Georgia Tech on September 26th. That's the start of the ACC schedule for North Carolina. I talked a little bit in my column yesterday about how Athlon picked the teams in the Coastal Division, and they got Georgia Tech picked sixth. I think sixth in the Coastal, just ahead of Duke. I think Georgia Tech is going to right the ship under Jeff Collins, but that it's going to take time for them to make that transition. And so you start off with Georgia Tech on September 26th, and then you follow that up with an away game at Virginia, which is also not the worst road game that North Carolina could play. Virginia, Athlon picked them fifth in the Coastal. You know, they're going to be minus Bryce Perkins. They have a few other losses. So if you've got to go on the road in the Coastal Division early, I'd rather do that than, you know, maybe go to Miami at that point in the season. But that there's some pros and cons to that as well. So, you know, I think the start of the season is good for North Carolina in terms of, you know, they can get some, you know, games out of the way that, you know, and build, you know, to that point. But after that, for the month of October, you know, you got Virginia Tech in Keenan, and then you got at Duke, then you got at Miami. I'm not crazy about that three-game stretch, and they're all games that are in a row. There's no bye in there. So I think that kind of stretch, although I don't think Duke is a huge challenge, you know, on the 17th. But having those two games, Virginia Tech and Miami, within 2 weeks of each other, that's going to be, I think, the telltale stretch for UNC football in 2020. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I'll go to Taylor on it. Taylor, you know, last year, or 2019, the Coastal Division was finally decided when Virginia Tech and Virginia played, I guess on the day after Thanksgiving, maybe. Was it that Friday? The way they've set this schedule up, I mean, the Coastal's going to be decided most likely, as Buck talked about, in October. October 24th, likely. Now, who knows what actually plays off? But that my takeaway there is it seems to me that the ACC schedulers set it up so everything is decided earlier rather than at the end for whatever reason. But your thoughts on the stretch Buck's talking about?
Yeah, I guess it's going to be nice for the Coastal to kind of get a the same kind of head start that the Atlantic gets with Clemson going to the ACC championship every year. If this is decided by Halloween or wherever it is decided, late October. But I think that was my biggest takeaway as well, how fun the month of October is going to be for North Carolina. You have Virginia, you have Virginia Tech, you have a rivalry game at Duke, and then you go on the road at Miami. So I think if this North Carolina team is ready to take the leap, like a lot of people are expecting, into being a top 25 team, yeah, these are games against other coastal contenders, but if North Carolina is ready to make this leap, this is the month that they're going to prove it. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like you mentioned, Virginia has, like Buck mentioned, Virginia does have a lot of pieces to replace, but Bronco Mendenhall has his team trending in the right direction. Virginia Tech, they're always going to give North Carolina their best game. And coming off that overtime thriller, Coach Fuente, he hasn't lost to North Carolina, so it's going to be interesting to see him back in Chapel Hill, especially with how his team responds to him kind of flirting with Baylor and almost leaving them only to come back. And you have the rivalry game at Duke. North Carolina, they beat Duke this year, but when you look at these two teams on paper, I think North Carolina is going in a completely different direction. But then again, it's a rivalry game. You really don't know what to expect in those games. And then at Miami, Miami's normally everybody's pick to win the Coastal, but this just can't be the year where you're picking Miami to win the Coastal, because every year it happens, every year they disappoint. And you look at them, they bring in Derek King, who's just a year removed from being a top five Heisman betting favorite, and a guy like Quincy Roche from Temple, and all of a sudden Miami's bringing in even more talent. But talent has never been Miami's problem. It's always been, can the coaches get the most out of their talent? So I think by far October is shaping up to be one of the most exciting months for UNC football in recent history.
Jason, is that how you want it? Is if you're a coaching staff, is you want the month of September to sort of, you know, get all the kinks out, get everything out, and then you want October to be, if it were me, you'd want October to be your big games before the dings and the injuries and everything starts to pile up. Is that what you see here, or how do you take this specifically, the month of October for Carolina?
Well, if I'm a coach, the first thing I want is a September with four guaranteed wins, four games that are going to be just enough to challenge my team, but I feel like I'm going to win those games. So I'd probably sub that Auburn game out if I could help it initially, you know, at least at this stage of the Carolina program. Though we've talked about in the past, you have to learn to play in those big game environments in order to really win big eventually. So, you know, that's a give and take. But if I'm talking about having the most successful season possible, man, get me to 4-0 at the end of September and with a little bit of a test in there somewhere. And then, you know, yeah, you're right. I think let October be my month. But to me, when I looked at this schedule, my eyes went immediately to at Virginia and then Virginia Tech, just like the rest of you. It's not just the month of October overall. It's those two games. And to me, I know it's a lot to put on just two games of a 12 game schedule, but the success of North Carolina's season, exactly how successful it's going to be, I think really hinges on those two games more than anything else. You beat Virginia at Virginia and Virginia Tech at home, and all of a sudden you're in really good shape to win your division. Recruiting wise, that matters, because first of all, that's early in the year while a lot of guys are still not completely decided. And you're also beating two regional rivals in your own division that are actually competitive with you and directly go head to head with you for a lot of guys in your state and also in that Tidewater region that Mac likes to recruit so much. So to me, those two games, let me win those two games, and I'm feeling really good about this season. And from there, I mean, I think the back end, you know, you finish Boston College, NC State, and I'm not sure how good either of those teams is going to be. So, you know, you got a chance to really, like Vip said, you got a chance to go into the, if you're in position, if going into those two games, you're in position to potentially win your division, you got a chance to actually really feel good about yourself and build some momentum going into that postseason.
I agree there. Let me talk about Johnny T-Shirt real brief. Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com, sponsors of this podcast, great sponsors and friends of Inside Carolina. They've always been there. They're there for you. If you are a Inside Carolina premium subscriber, 10% off everyday order. And Buck, if I remember correctly, they come and join us at the signing day gathering, which is coming up in the very near future at the Hickory Tavern in Carrboro. So you get to meet the people behind the scenes at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. And they always have swag for Inside Carolina people at that event. So if you're there, but if you can't make it, you can order whatever you need online, JohnnyT-Shirt.com, or visit them in store on Franklin Street if you're in town. And you get your 10%, whether it's in person or online. And if you shop there often, that 10% comes in handy at Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. But the one game that stood out for me looking at the schedule, and some of my friends, in fact, our pig picking buddy, they always take a trip to an away game. And this year they chose Boston College until it was November 21st in Boston. Your thoughts on the timing maybe of that game, putting it there at the end of the season? We've seen, you know, the lesser teams stuck there. Mac Brown wanted to get away from that. But your thoughts on where they slotted that game, if it even matters?
Well, you know, I think it's a little bit of a trade-off in some ways. Obviously, and you're looking at it from different perspectives. If you're a fan and you're trying to decide what away games you're going to go to, and you know what's a, you know, a nice destination for you at that time of year, Boston College would not be your first choice. It wouldn't be your seventh choice. It's not to say that the weather is going to be, you know, 10 below November 21st. I doubt that, but it's likely to be chilly. Who knows what kind of weather you're going to get there? Could be a 55 degree day. We don't know, but that's not where I would have slotted Boston College from a fan standpoint. On the flip side, you've got Miami October 24th, and you know, I know that, you know, Greg Barnes and Jim Hawkins and those guys are feeling pretty good about being in South Florida late October. And, you know, that, so I think I see those as kind of a trade-off a little bit, because, you know, one washes the other. But, you know, obviously from a fan standpoint, Boston College would not be your first choice for a late November game.
Yeah, a quick point off Buck's point. I think playing Boston College in late November actually gives North Carolina an edge compared to some of these other teams that have to play Boston College early on in the year. Because you have to remember, Boston College has a new coach coming in. They're losing their best player in AJ Dillon. So it's really anybody's guess how they're going to come out looking that first game. You're really just relying off of these coaches' pass stops. So I think that's one thing that North Carolina fans should keep in mind, that by the time UNC has to play Boston College November 21st, they're going to have a lot of film to prepare and have a complete game plan to go into that game with.
That's a great point there, because we talked about that a lot last year for Carolina. These teams didn't have any tape on Carolina and on the new schemes or whatever. But, Taylor, I'll stay with you. And, Jason, I also want your comment on this. From a player standpoint, does it matter? Do players even remotely look at, hey, we've got this. Oh, we got to go there then, really? And then we come back. I mean, like, for instance, playing the rivalry games, because Virginia Tech and Virginia back-to-back, Those are heated and hated rivalries for a lot of these players, and it's only going to get worse the way Carolina's poaching Virginia for recruits. So, Taylor, does the layout of the schedule matter to the players at all?
I would say no, it doesn't matter. Like when I was playing, we wouldn't think like, you know, we're playing this team here, we're playing this team here. But as a former player, the first spot my eyes went when I looked at the schedule was that Halloween week, and they have a bye week so the players can kind of enjoy Halloween. So that's more along the lines where I think players are looking like, where's our bye week? How does that kind of fit into the schedule? But not really, you know, we're playing X team here or this team here. It's more, where's your bye week, and kind of fitting it around the holidays or Halloween, Thanksgiving, more along those lines.
Jason, does it matter? Does it matter the order of the schedule?
No, but you do look for your bye. Vip's right. So,
well,
I mean,
Carolina's is what, Halloween. So it's,
yeah,
deep.
Exactly. Yeah. And well, the thing is that also, like he said, that also lets you know, like, oh, that might be a good Halloween weekend. Which, I mean, as a coach, I'd be like, man, if I could have a bye other weeks than the week where my guys are more likely to be out partying, like really, like there are going to be some banger parties that weekend. Then, you know, maybe I'd, as a coach, prefer it to be another time, but players probably pretty pleased with that date, as an open date. And, yeah, I mean, that's going to matter. I mean, you already know when NC State's going to be one rival. You already know Duke's going to kind of be in the middle, and you don't really care there. But, you know, you are probably going to take notice of like, oh, man, it's probably going to be cold in, you know, Pitt and Boston College in November. But Pitt's at home, so, you know, don't have to worry about that. You only have to worry about BC this year. So, you know, you look at that and you might notice that. But everything else, well, you're going to have to play those teams anyway.
Buck, let's talk a little bit about from the Inside Carolina fan base. When's the pig picking game, and when's the game Taylor and Jason are coming to the pig picking and hanging out with the Inside Carolina subscribers? I see a couple of options in September, but what saith Buck?
Well, you know, that's going to depend on you know, how much they love IC. Love IC and love Buck and love Tommy. Their game attendance will depend on those factors. But, you know, I'm kind of thinking that October 10th, UNC versus Virginia Tech, if that's not like a 8 o'clock kick, I'll be surprised. You know, I can see, you know, because these days there is more than one 8 o'clock kickoff, in, you know, among ACC teams, and you've got, you know, North Carolina hopefully being 2-0 in the ACC at that point. And one thing I wanted to mention about the game in Charlottesville the week prior, the Virginia plays Clemson at Clemson the week before they played North Carolina. So there's some chance there will be some bumps and bruises on Virginia when North Carolina arrives there on October 3rd. But, you know, the best time to have that pig picking tailgate situation is a night game, as we both know, Tommy. So I would select October 10th as a game to circle for, you know, the full enchilada or full Monty, however you want to, fullness you want to use, for a party atmosphere in Chapel Hill. I'm pretty sure that's going to be an 8 o'clock tip off, or at worst a 3:30 tip off. So that would be the one I would circle.
Coming from 5 hours away, I was really careful about which games I went. I really pick and choose my spots, and I actually saw UNC's athletic director before the bowl game, and I was like, hey, I'm 3-0 at UNC games this year. I went to South Carolina, Miami, Duke, and then Bubba kind of just laughingly joked it off. And then after I saw him, after UNC won the bowl game, he said, 4-0, I'm going to have to get my people in touch with your people about seeing if we can make some plans. Now, I don't know if he's planning on chartering me flights to every game, but if the option's there to go to games, I'm going to go to games for sure.
He needs to. He needs to.
I would pump the brakes on Bubba chartering your plane. Just FYI.
You need to get you an Amtrak ticket there. Jason, when in the way too early predictions, when might Jason Staples, if you're looking at the schedule planning your future, when might Jason Staples venture to the Bowles lot to be on site when Carolina plays whoever on this schedule?
Oh, the first one that jumps out to me is that Virginia Tech game. You know, that especially after the overtime game last year, and given the history between those two schools, that's going to be a barn burner right there. And again, that's one of the most important games on the schedule. So I'm going to pull out the stops to try to be there at Virginia Tech looking at this. And then after that, I'll probably do what I can to see if maybe I could get to the NC State game as well. But that Virginia Tech game, that's a real attractive destination right there.
So that's the be-all, end-all game on the home schedule. I'm going to take a short break, come back. I'm going to ask these guys their first take, way too early predictions. Said I wasn't going to do it. I'm doing it anyway. We'll be right back.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I got to play.
I'm going to play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Buck, you're first up. A lot of people on Inside Carolina message boards see this schedule and they say, oh, Carolina's going, 10-2. No question. Your early, without thinking about it too much, thoughts on Carolina's season 2020.
Well, you shouldn't have gone to commercial break first, so I already prepared my defenses, which is I'm not going to tell you what my way too early prediction is. There's so much left to digest and to sort out. There's transfer portal stuff to go and come, both in terms of UNC players that may leave and other players. We don't even know the final shape of the rosters yet. You know, I think it's easy to get locked into, okay, well, in most polls, North Carolina's ranked in the top 25. They're picked second in the Coastal. Let's figure out what that might be and say 9-3, which I don't think is a bad answer, but it's not one I'm going to give you. There's we haven't even talked about, and intentionally we made the decision heading into this podcast that we weren't going to talk about the non-conference schedule, but you have got two incredibly difficult games to start the season, at UCF and then basically at Auburn in Atlanta. Those two games, and in terms of the season as a whole, those two games are going to kind of define whether or not North Carolina is genuinely a top 25 team in 2020. But the Coastal Division and the ACC schedule is going to define whether North Carolina has the potential maybe to get to a major bowl as Virginia did last year. If North Carolina can finish the season and win the Coastal Division and be the highest ranked team in the ACC outside of Clemson, North Carolina could be going to a major bowl for the first time since like 1949. So, you know, if you want to get crazy with your expectations, that's where you might peg them. But, you know, each game is a game at a time, as you and I both know. And for Tommy especially, since the schedule's come out, he's noticed that there are 12 must-win games. So
I agree with that.
So that's where I would come off. And I give Jason and Taylor carte blanche to reject your initial question, and as I did, and refuse to give a way too early prediction.
Well, they can't do that. I'm the host, and I know you're the owner and the president and the client, but I'm looking at the schedule trying to figure out where I'm going to make the second greatest comeback ever, because my greatest comeback ever was in Charlotte at South Carolina game. Folks that were there will know what I'm talking about. Taylor, I'll give you the second go at it. Looking at the schedule, it's pretty clear from this year that the outcome of the first two games do not shape the rest of the season. But what are your expectations here in January as we look at a schedule when we finally see at least the order that we'll play these games?
Yeah, and just looking at those first two games, if North Carolina could get out of there 1-1, I would consider that a positive for this team moving forward. And more important than those first two games, I think this team has to win the Coastal. That should be far and away their number one goal: win the Coastal. And when you're looking at UCF and versing Auburn at a neutral field, those two games have no implications on that goal of winning the Coastal. But I'll give you a way too early bold prediction that I don't have to stand by a week from now, and I'll say that North Carolina at Miami, both of those teams are undefeated heading into that game. Once again, I'm not tied to this prediction, but looking at the schedule, I could see a path where both of these teams are undefeated and it's a top 15 type matchup.
Whew, that'd be a big one in front of like 10,000 people. Jason, Jason, way too early predictions, my man.
The only thing that where I'm gonna say I just don't buy it is Miami being unbeaten when they play that game in October. I don't see it. I mean, their schedule is soft, but I think that Miami team's pretty soft too, honestly. So even though they added two good players just this last week, but as far as predicting the overall season, I'm with Buck. We haven't even gotten through spring. We don't know who's healthy, you know, coming out of fall. We don't know what guys have transferred in from the transfer portal, if they're going to get any more. I mean, there's so many unanswered questions at this point. I want a little bit more information of what Carolina is going to have up front, particularly given some of the signees that they've got in this class that I know they're hoping to get some contribution out of early. And, you know, who's going to be ready to play up front defensively? That, to me, I want to have some idea of that before I make any real sweeping prediction about this next season, because so much is contingent on being able to hold their water up front. Without Strobridge, without Crawford, that's going to be a big task. I mean, I think they're going to score some points, and as long as Howell's healthy, they're going to be good on that side. But I'm not ready to make any predictions on the basis of this schedule. I mean, we don't even know half the personnel who's going to transfer in and out a place like Virginia Tech. I mean, are they going to have another 17 guys transfer? Who knows? It's just too early.
Very fair point to our listeners. I tried schedule bookend Friday night games, bookend the schedule at UCF and NC State. In between there, a ton of important Coastal games. As Buck said, 12 must-win games for North Carolina. I think I've said it before. I'll stay on record. I think UCF will be tougher than Auburn. Our intern Gregory Hall thought I was crazy, but I stand by that. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But like Jason, Buck, and Taylor say, a lot to happen before Carolina gets to Friday night down in Orlando against UCF. Gentlemen, we'll talk plenty, and I will nail you down on predictions. It just might be August before I can get you nailed down. But I've enjoyed the discussion. I hope everybody listening has enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tommy. Enjoyed it, guys.
Tommy.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.